For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Saints, just for just a little bit as we try to walk through what God has for us in his word, we want you to consider this thinking: a royal awakening. A royal awakening. God has his own way of, he goes about bringing attention to the things that he deems most important. Man has their history, God has his. Man has his way of refining and revising what they believe about what is and should be. God has his. And even though there's still this butting of heads between God and man, one day, man is going to have a royal awakening. We know that during this time of year, I usually look up these things when they have these different things they have in our culture, our society, where they, you know, say this is this for this week. And, you know, this thing is called Black Friday. Now, I see after service, you know, why they call it Black Friday? I don't know. I don't know if it's Black Friday. She'll call it Broke Friday. Nonetheless, I'm here to tell you that it is good to, for us, for others, to seek to try to make an effort to wade our way through what the reality is. That with all the many and varied ways in which we seek to celebrate this time of year, a culmination of things that have happened throughout the previous 11 months. And yet, again, there is a reality behind this. The truth of the matter is that some things have not changed. There's a little axiom, it's not in the Bible, but it's true sometimes. Some things change, but other things remain the same. I hope you catch my tone, a somberness. But you know, we who are saved, we have no reason not to still have hope. God in his mercy, his grace, his foreknowledge, knowing in advance not only what he could see down the road, but what he had foreplanned to happen. Because he knows how man is, and he knows again that I won't say his best efforts, because God is no such thing with God. God is omnipotent. Nonetheless, despite the fact that he goes out of his way to make sure that we know that he is a good God, still, there seems to be some type of determination for man to display this arrogance as if he's the maker of his own good welfare. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, saying grace took a new meaning. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. When I came to the Lord, he opened my eyes. Not only when he opened my eyes, I got a rude awakening. I know what I said, what the theme was. I ain't get there yet. What I mean by that is I thought everything surrounded around me, that I was living my own world. Amen. And I thought I was the one who was enjoying things. I figured that whatever I was about, what I was doing, and whatever I made out of life, that was the way things were supposed to be. But when I came to Jesus, more specifically, when he came to me, I got a rude awakening. I discovered it wasn't about me at all. It was about somebody else. And then God, he throughout biblical history, he has, as he comes in and he begins to shine his light on darkness. But he does that for a reason. It's not just to expose the degradation and humiliation. But no, that's not it. But God does this so he shines the light on darkness so he can bring the light out of the darkness. Are you with me here? God has a way of doing things with things and with people and circumstances that no one else can do. That even when you look around, even today, there seems to be an upsurge more and more of how man can outdo his wicked self. Amen. It's just taking another level. It's just going to another place in which we, I mean, again, it's like a Noah's day all over again. But it's different now. Are you with me here? It's different now. And I'm here to tell you that there is going to be a time where we won't be saying these things. The big story won't be what we've been hearing. That won't be it. The action news will not be the things that they're talking about where another life is taken. That's not going to be it. But what we're waiting for, what we're looking for, what we're hoping for, when I say hoping for, I don't mean wishful thinking. We're waiting for that day. When I say we, I mean those who know what's up ahead. Nonetheless, God, he gives us this history in his word, and he gives us to see how in times past he has visited situations and circumstances where it looks like things were not going to get better. And he brought about again, I use the expression, he calls us by having to peek prophetically to look ahead and have reason to keep coming back to church. Now, somebody said, well, you know, what do you mean by that? I mean this. You see, coming to church is not enough. Amen. Yeah, that's right. I did all kinds of blasphemy, you know, like that. Coming to church is not enough. Coming to the house of God and worshiping God is what it's all about. Years past, decades ago, get away with that. We could get away with that. We could get away because we had a Protestant flavor with us. That means that there's certain things that just eke out into the culture and society that were taken for granted before they had the Scopes monkey trial. You know, that people were, evolution wasn't in the end world. We didn't have to take a fight with the school system to make sure that our children understood, amen, that we didn't come from a monkey. And you know what I'm saying? That there was no Big Bang. There's just a big God. And, you know, and that was enough. But now the erosion in reason and even faith to some degree has caused things to get worse and worse. And it was a time, amen, that everybody went to church. Everybody went to church. It was, amen, there was no discussion. There was no argument. There was no debate. Everything. There was no Black Friday, amen, in that reason. Amen. There was no need for no blue laws. It was understood because then after a while, it just started to seep out that the way in which we were born into sin, we could not get ourselves out of it. But then God had a plan. And what he did and what he does, saints, he gives us to see the reality of a situation, but then he brings a word to us to give us to know that one day is going to be different. Somebody said, that's what gets me up in the morning. I'm here to tell you, it's more than that. That not only gets me up in the morning, but it causes me to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I don't know what yesterday was talking about, what yesterday did to you, but God's tomorrow is better than today. And so with Isaiah, this prophet back in the time of Isaiah, these years later, not only 2,000 years before there, we can go back then. We know what happened 2,000 years ago, and we're going to get there, and everybody in this sanctuary should know what I'm talking about. Something happened 2,000 years ago, but before that time, God gave a precursor. That means God began to give us a little peeks prophetically into what he was up to. Y'all follow me here. See, listen, we are so spoiled, and I don't mean it in a negative sense, but we are spoiled biblically, and because we got the Bible, we got all 66 books. Ain't that right? We got magnitudes of translations. We got study Bibles. We got non-study Bibles. You know, we got all kinds of things. We got commentaries. We got dictionary, Bible dictionary. We got all that. And ain't that right? We live in an age where we are inundated with all kinds of access through the media. My God, you can even Google a Bible. Ain't that right? You got it all. But yet, still, sometimes it doesn't seem as though we are being affected like that. We should be having more joy today than we did yesterday.